Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. I want to thank several of you for reminding me to record. I think I would have, but I often forget, so thank you. And while I'm doing that, I want to thank Mr. Renner. You might notice the things are much more organized here, which is helping me a lot in a number of ways, but especially be able to just get at things quickly. So thank you, Mr. Renner, for doing all that work. Okay, Ephesians 5, verse 8 is our scripture verse for this evening. I'd like to read its context again, and we will look at a few different aspects and some overlapping things in the context. Verse 8, and the last part of it being our focus, walk as children of light. Hear now the word of the Lord, Ephesians 5, 7 to 14, and then we'll focus on verse 8 together. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And again, the scripture for this evening we're focusing on is verse 8. Let me read that for us again. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And I think you could read an implied word there, therefore, walk as children of light. We saw this morning the first part, who we are in Christ. Because Christ is the light of the world, you are the light of the world. That's the indicative again. You are the light of the Lord, our verse says. You are children of light. But then, that being said, therefore, because ye are the light of the Lord, because you are children of light, you are also called to act accordingly. Your conduct, or your walk, as he's speaking in metaphor, this regular idea of how we are to walk, your conduct, the way you behave, thinking, speaking, and doing, and what you would refrain from thinking, speaking, and doing. Walk. That is, you should keep in step, following after Christ and not after the world. Now, this is based on the indicative, again, who you are in the Christ. You are the light of the world. But the imperative follows, because it isn't just that we are to be saved by Jesus, we are to serve Jesus. And that's really primarily the salvation is the means to the end, serving Jesus as King. The imperative follows. And the imperative is this from the text: walk as children of light. And that's the message for you from the text this evening. Walk as children of light. Walk not in darkness. That's the contrast being made. Walk in light. Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16, Jesus says the following: ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Shine your light. God didn't put the light of Christ into your hearts to put it under a bushel. He didn't put it there to try to hide it. You know, I really enjoy when we go to the Chula Vista Harbor on J Street. I love when the darkness comes down and the lights turn on around us. But what I particularly love to watch, if you look downtown, you see the Coronado Bridge, and then you see all the buildings downtown. All the lights start to turn on. I'm sure it's automatic. It's set up by a timer, I would think. And it's just amazing to see all those lights come on, and then you can see the city again and where it is, and it's beautiful. I mean, you don't put lights on the city so that we can't see it, right? That would be ridiculous. In fact, the tower buildings have beautiful colors, especially holiday times, to be seen, right? And to show. And that is what Jesus is saying. Let your light, the light in you, shine before men, that they'd see your good works. Glorify your Father in heaven. And that's ultimately the goal of shining. What? Same as the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to shine the light on God, to shine according to his attention. I mean, if you're thinking about what Christ says in this call to walk as children of light, imagine if you're walking with a friend in a forest while you're camping in darkness, and he hands you a flashlight because you didn't remember one, and you say, gee, thanks, pal, and you put the flashlight in your bag, you zip it up, and you continue to walk. Your friend says, what are you doing? That's not the purpose of a light. The purpose of a light is to shine, to guide, to direct your way, that you would walk the narrow, straight way. We should walk the way that the Word lights up. Again, because Christians are now light in the Lord, they should walk through darkness as children of light. Main idea of the verse, again, I give you the main idea of the greater context, verses 7 to 14. Christians who are light in the Lord should not participate in darkness, but expose it. And so there's a lot of contrast going on in this text. You were darkness, but now you are light. You did partake in those dark, evil things that he describes. But now you should walk in the light, goodness, righteousness, truth, fruits of the Spirit. There's this contrast going on. So when we think about walking in light, we get an idea of it by being told not to walk in darkness, no longer to be walking in darkness. And that has to do with the company we keep primarily. You know, we have that phrase, Christ says, the blind leading the blind. And we know sometimes we say, boy, that person, since they've been hanging out with those people, they have just, they can't see it anymore. They can't see the truth. No longer participate in darkness, but expose it. Verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. So when he's saying, remember who you are, there's such a concern, don't be anymore who you were. No longer walk in the dark fellowship of those who are worldly and ungodly and unbelieving. You're not darkness anymore. You should no longer be partakers of that darkness. And it has everything to do in seeing if you are by your walk. Verse 11, no fellowship with them and their wicked works. So when he's particularly saying, don't walk in darkness, don't have fellowship with them. And then in particular with that, don't have fellowship with their wicked works. Don't be participating in the kinds of things they like to do. Don't be doing it with them. Stay away. Stay out of it. It is a danger if you go back. And that's the thus in verse 7 again. Be not ye therefore. The therefore is verse 6. Don't let any man deceive you by vain words. Because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. See, the world wants to make you disobey Christ. The world wants to make you forget, ignore the word of God, which is the light, to know how to obey him. The world wants you to do what you're familiar with from your past. The world wants you to partake in fellowship and the works of unrighteousness and disobedience with those who may have been of your past but should not be part of your present and your future. There is a danger of stumbling in the darkness. You might go read Isaiah 59, verses 9 to 10, and Deuteronomy 28, verse 29. Let me sum up for you. It says, because they've gotten away from the Lord and his light, they are groping about in darkness, running into things, and howling out like dumb animals. You don't want to be in that kind of a situation. That's not who you are anymore. That's no way to walk as children of light. John 11, verses 9 through 10. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Don't walk in the night. Now, isn't that where a lot of the fellowship with darkness happens. Nobody needs to be out at 2 and 3 in the morning, especially our young people. The only things that are open for to be walking with in darkness at the dark times of night, and we do not need to be there. If we're going to be up late, let us be together in the fellowship of some kind of prayer retreat or fasting service or time in our Bible with our brethren. But where we belong at night is in bed with our wives, with our children. Too often, things that we need help to change on is because we're up too late in the dark hours, walking with the things that like to come out at night. Do not associate with evil. Do not be found walking with them. Walk in the day, Jesus says. That's when you get work done, by the way. That's why the sun starts in the morning. And it lasts for quite a while. Get up and get to work during the day hours. Now, this isn't to say people can't go hide in back streets and alleys and dark places. And frankly, I remember a friend of ours who used to be here from the Marines. It's frightening what he saw happen in the middle of the day in daylight. So when you get really depraved, you don't even try to hide what you do. But don't be walking in such company, because keeping that company corrupts good morals, the scripture says. And it only brings darkness. It doesn't use your light effectively. It dampens it. It dims it. It limits its ability to do what it's been given to you for. Walk with those who are going to fan the flame of Christ in you. Walk with those who are going to breathe on it to help it grow and strengthen. Do not associate with evil. And Andrew Blackwood says that this is probably referring to vile religious practices. Often that's the case. And I couldn't help but think of, my wife Fernanda has pointed out that in Brazil there's a particular African influence, a large population, and you'll see it in all kinds of their lifestyles, their dance, their kinds of martial arts, but especially in their food. It's explicitly animistic. It's explicitly pagan rituals. It's explicitly a false religion, but it's so pervasive in the culture. It's more than when Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, oh, you know, it's okay to eat stuff that's been offered in the pagan temples. Just don't go to their suppers in the pagan temples, because then you're fellowshipping with demons. But this is pervasive and outside the temples, and it's everywhere. And I appreciate Fernando's very sensitive to those kinds of things. You cannot be involved in those kinds of things. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what Paul is saying. Don't be walking in these kinds of things. You need to separate yourself from things, especially as they are dark in their religious context. And let's remember that Satan prowls around as a lion, yes, but also masquerades as an angel of light. Not pure light, but he can trick us into getting involved in syncretism and all kinds of overlap and excusing of things that we shouldn't have anything to do with, including certain kinds of worship, especially this time of year, that have nothing to do with the scriptures. Paul Bain, a nice commentary in our library, Paul Bain says, do not be familiar with the dark fellowship of unbelief and disobedience to God's word. He says, do not keep company with it. Do not have fellowship with it. He says, and I quote, new estate doth require new associates, as well as new manners. After all, James 1:27 says, among other things, that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Again, what is pure religion? Here it is, to keep himself unspotted from the world. Boy, you sound puritanical. Praise the Lord. Oh, may it be that I look puritanical. I know that sounds dangerous, but we know what it really means. That I would be like Puritans with my own life, that we would really be desiring to have experiential Christianity and religion from the scriptures and by the Spirit, that we are so different than the world. And so different than many who are pretending to be of Christ, but just call upon us to mingle with the world. instead of influence it and save it. This doesn't mean that you can't be in the world. That's impossible, Paul says, but you're not to be of it. What it does mean is that you don't partake of their evil, dark works that are not fruitful, but instead you bear the fruit of the Spirit in good, righteous, true works that show His light. You know, you open the shades and you let the light out as you're walking with people who want to look in. Look at verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. See, what's being contrasted is the unfruitful works of darkness. Verse 11, don't walk in unfruitful, disobedient works of darkness. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and bear the fruits of the Spirit. You could say this is a more broad summary. Goodness, righteousness, and truth of the more of all the different fruits that are mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. Since we're close there, we'll come back to Ephesians. Keep it marked, please. But let's go over to Galatians 5. To say a more detailed expression of what it is to walk in the light or to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So as Paul speaks of it more broadly here in large categories, goodness, righteousness, truth, you see those fruits in more specifics in Galatians 5. But it's the same idea of how we should walk. For instance, Galatians 5 verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, which is the theme behind our slogan of our logo of our church. And it's the same idea, the indicative, because we live in the Spirit, because the Spirit lives in us, let us also walk in the Spirit, not in the spirit of darkness. That doesn't make any sense. It wouldn't compute. We need to bear the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the light, against the unfruitful works of darkness. And Frank, you might remember Galatians 5:25. I shared it at a family camp years ago. The literal word order in the Greek is, if in the Spirit we live, no, excuse me, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk. So it's Spirit, Spirit, it's a chiasm, and it's a balanced idea. But if we live in the Spirit, because we do, in the Spirit, let us also walk. So a walk has to come out of the Spirit. James Hastings points out that light is essential for holy fruitness. Heat is not enough. Artificial warmth without light cannot produce fruit in plants. The same. Not nearly the same. He gives a lot of details. I spare them for time, but he just points out a lot of experiments have done, and light is so critical. Heat isn't enough to grow plants and to produce the fruit they're supposed to produce. You've got to have the light. You got to have the pure, authentic light. I thought to myself, that's probably why our watermelons aren't so large. We planted them in our garden, kind of late in the season. And we were excited. They really started to take off fast, the vines. Maybe these watermelon are smaller ones. I'll have to look into it. But one thing that occurred to me, it was late in the year. And there's not nearly as much light. And I think that might be it, because our peppers and other things that had been growing quite well, once the light started to change, they're really not growing the same. You've got to be walking in the light. You can't expect the light within you to be growing and making a significant difference if you're not walking in the light of the Word, the light of the Spirit, the light of the fellowship of fellow believers. You can't expect that light to grow if you're not exposing yourself more and more to the light, to the Christian walk, and to the Christian fruits of good works. Further, your good works should reprove the evil lives of those who are walking in darkness and disobedience. That is, it should expose it. The Greek word for reprove in verses 11 and 12 could easily be translated expose, which would be very fitting of the context, right? The light is to make visible. That's what light does. It makes visible. So the idea of reproving is to expose it for what it is. like God with us in Psalm 90, verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. God's light and presence, as it's shown in his word and spirit, convicts us of our sins, our secret sins, exposes, convicts, transforms, cleanses. Now, per verse 12, much of the darkness is so bad and filthy. That word shameful, I think, could be translated filthy, if I remember from the Greek. It's too shameful to speak of. So if we are to reprove, expose the sins of this world, but most of it is too shameful to even be talking about, then how do we reprove and expose it? By our good works. That's what Paul's talking about, our fruitful works of the Spirit and of the light. Often by just being who you are and walking in the light with your brethren in the church, growing more and more as you are supposed to do, which is against the flow of the world. You know, it is easy to spot something out as different when everything's going this way, but something else is going the opposite direction. You immediately show, at least you don't agree with the direction they're going. And then you might make some wonder, why? Why are they going that way instead, the narrow way that leads to life? Why aren't they going the broad way with most of us that leads to destruction? Just your walk in the light, following after Jesus, who is the light, can reprove and expose, because they are convicted and struck by. That's why people, a lot of times, you might be surprised, sometimes somebody's mad at you, you didn't actually say anything. It's just who you are makes them angry, because it exposes what's going on inside. By doing good and godly works as defined by his word, you shine your light before the world. Again, Matthew 5:16, Jesus says, shine your light before the world. You are the light of the world. How are you supposed to do that? Let them see what? Your good works, that they would want to come and glorify your Father in heaven. William Hendrickson says this, since now they are light, Christians are light now, they also have become light transmitters. From them, light radiates forth to all those with whom they come into contact. Further, he says, not only had they been in darkness, as in an evil environment, but they themselves had been part of that realm. And that's the scary thing we're being warned not to go back to. You were part of that realm. You don't want to go mess around walking in it, because that was who you were. That's who you were. That was what you were. You were darkness. You weren't just in it. You were darkness. You were the realm of darkness others were told to avoid being part of. Don't go back and be around it. But of course, in the contrast, that means that you're not just in the light again. You have the light. He says you are the light. You are in the realm of light now. You are the realm of light. So as you gather together, the realm of light grows. And light must manifest. As we say, don't just talk the talk, walk the walk. Heeding 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's interesting that John talks about if you walk in darkness, you are lying about being a Christian. You're lying as if you're at least living a Christian life. It's interesting because remember in our other series that I prepared sermons for, working on an article about the communicable attributes of God, we looked at the fact that God is love. So therefore, we are called to walk in love. And John says also in 1 John, if we say we love God, but we hate our brother, we lie. We're liars. You can't say you love God and not love your brethren. Similarly, John says, as we've read now, you can't say that you're walking with God while you're walking in darkness. You can't say you're in the truth. You can't say you have fellowship with God while you're walking in darkness. Beloved, at least as you need to battle sins in your life as I do, we need to recognize and say, I'm a liar when I say I'm having fellowship with God right now. I'm dimming the light. If we walk in darkness, we lie to ourselves. We cover over the light. So in 1 John 2:8-11, we read again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Not loving our brother is walking in darkness. Now remember, the main contrast is that we would be walking together in the light and not walking in the fellowship of darkness and doing their bad works. I couldn't help but remember a while back when confronting someone who used to visit us. You won't remember them. You won't know who I'm talking about. It was rather short-lived, but there was a lot of excitement, and you know, as there often is, until you have to talk about obeying the Lord, and namely, keeping the Sabbath and attending worship. It was amazing the amount of time that I was giving in private counsel, and then not showing up for worship. So we confronted them about that on behalf of session. I did. And I was amazed that one of the comments one of the couple said to me was, you know, the thing is we feel much more comfortable at the taverns. We feel much more comfortable around people like in the bars and people who are not Christians. We don't feel as comfortable around Christians. Well, as I read this text tonight, it makes me concerned for them about what that could mean. Maybe just maturity in the Lord, but perhaps something more than that. Oh, they probably are still going to church frequently. Most do. But John says you're a liar. I mean, it's one thing to come to church, if you would even come, but then not to be wanting to spend time with the brethren and working together with the brethren, serving with the brethren. Oh, beloved, let us pray what we sang today. Psalm 56, verse 13. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? May that be our prayer. Lord, you delivered my feet that I would walk in the light of the living. I have a new company to keep now, a new family to be working and serving with now. Notice in that same psalm again, he was surrounded by dark forces. Yet he says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you, O Lord, and I will not fear what men can do to me. I will have faith in you. So similarly, in Psalm 37, a psalm we think of regularly, he's saying, though the wicked prosper, I won't be like them. I will not participate with them, but I will keep trusting in the Lord, and I will keep living according to his lifestyle by the word. Because the end will be verse 6 of Psalm 37. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. There'll be a day, beloved, that you will be walking in the eternal day in a place of perfect righteousness. But he'll bring that out. He'll bear that out at other times as well. May the Lord speak to us from Romans 13, verses 12 to 14. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. O beloved, hear the church's call in Isaiah 2, verse 5. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. seems to me that would be a wonderful verse to have connected with what Joshua says elsewhere. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and then call upon our house and say, O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Wasn't Israel's biggest problem that brought down all kinds of problems upon their lineage and their life in the promised land? Wasn't it always a problem that they ended up walking in darkness? They ended up walking with the heathen. They ended up walking in the dark worship practices of unbelievers and pagan gods. Oh, Israel, let us walk in the light of the Lord. So here's a test for your walk. Here's something to consider. Am I walking in the light? Am I walking as a child of light? Paul Bain says this: it doth reprove our walking as not in light when wicked ones can take pleasure in us and wish no better companions. For if our ways were not like theirs, it would sting them that they would not endure us. Our lives, which should ferret them from their dark corners, are become burrows which they take for their shelters. May that not be said of you and I, beloved. May it not be that the world is so comfortable keeping company with us and hiding with us. That would be a sign that we're walking in darkness and not in the light. Because unless the Lord convicts a heart as he has for you and me, people don't want to walk in the light. They're still cockroaches. They want to walk in darkness. You're going to lose friends when you walk in the light. You're going to lose brethren when you walk in the light. Because at the end of the day, they don't want to be exposed for all the ways they're walking in dirty, dark, worldly places that they don't seem to have a problem advertising on their Facebook pages nonetheless. But when exposed and confronted by behavior or ministry, it's amazing how they no longer wish to walk with you. But you remember to walk with Christ and walk with those concerned to walk with him in the light. And it's a better walk. It's a blessed walk, beloved. Verse 10 says our walk in the light would be proving what is acceptable to God. It's reminiscent of Romans 12, verse 2, that says, let us be transformed by the renewing of our mind that we'd know what is the good, acceptable, pleasing will of the Lord. Well, how do we do that? How do we prove to ourselves? How do we know what God wants of us to please him? We know the answer, but boy, do we need to be reminded. As you and I look at our walk, even last week, what do we need to be reminded of to be guided by the light? Go to the Word of God. Go to the Bible. Go to the Scriptures. Sing these psalms regularly. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How do you walk in the light? Guided by the word of God and nothing else. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Verse 14. The context is speaking to Christians. Wake up, he says, Christians. Rise up and walk, trusting that Christ will shine his light on you. Trusting as you walk according to his word, he'll shine more truth. He'll make things more clear. He'll give more enlightenment. And he'll lead you further away from the darkness and your old self. And he'll help you to walk hand in hand closer with those who are walking in the light. Beloved, trust 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And Peter is speaking of the word of God, especially the finality and fulfillment of it in the New Testament. Because we have Christ who has come. Beloved, pray Psalm 4, verse 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. And bask in the glorious benediction of Numbers 6, 24 to 26, every Lord's Day morning. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Beloved, you are not only to expose evil, but shine attention on God, that people would come and serve and worship him. You often see people walking in groups together in ways that are peculiar to them. Be peculiar people of God. Walk in the light. Follow Jesus. Walk in his ways, to the glory of his holy name. Remembering that when you are going to choose to walk as children of light, almost always, and especially always as it relates to morality, you're going to be walking in the opposite direction of the children of disobedience and darkness of this world. And you've got to recognize often when counsel from well-meaning and sometimes maybe not well-meaning people of the church is to walk according to the ways of this world and object when the word of God is brought in contradistinction to such a walk. John 12, verses 35 to 36, Jesus says, "Yea, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." And that's what Paul says. Walk as children of light. And so Jesus here says, walk while you have the light. Walk in the light. Walk that you would be children of light. You know, I can't help but think about our, I can't say my youngest son anymore, but next in line. We've noticed that, like, if we go fishing too late in the day as the sun starts to set, or we're out doing other things, normally he would be really enjoying himself, but he starts to get really anxious and really uncomfortable. And I've started to recognize it's because it's getting dark. It doesn't feel safe. Everything is different. And you can't really see what you're doing. You can't really see as much. And that's the way we need to respond to darkness. Nah, I don't like this. I do not want to stay here. I do not want to walk in this place. Turn the lights on, please. Get me to where the light is. Noah and others were said to be men who what? Walked with the Lord. That is to walk with Christ. Follow him, the light of the world, on the narrow way that leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it, beloved. There's going to be few that walk in the light, truly. But we're called to walk as children of light. You will be in the world, but you will not be of it, exposing it while being above it as you move past it. Paul Bain again says this, "For the beams of the sun, though they should shine on the dunghill, yet they do not mingle themselves with any filthiness." That's a powerful image if you stop and think about it and sniff, if you will, for a moment. The light of the sun does shine upon the dunghill, and it affects the dunghill, but it doesn't mingle or involve itself with it. All that it does, all that your effect will be, is raise the stink of sin in this world, but you, the light, will not be found walking amidst its filthy mud. That's the kind of way you're to walk in the light as children of light in this dark world. As you expose it, its stink rises up. But you're not fine walking within its stink. It's just your light that causes that to happen. Walking of children of light is to follow after the ways of Jesus. To walk in his old paths, not the broad way of the world. You will look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Be as James Hastings describes in these various illustrations. And I'd like to give you a few as we near the end of this sermon, but it is a bit of a lengthy number of quotes. I've found that I think you usually enjoy them, so I'm going to give them to you. I was so blessed reading his commentary on verse 9. He's got an article on verse 9 in his book on Ephesians. He doesn't comment on everything, our main verse, but in his section on Ephesians 5, verse 9, here's a few lovely illustrations that I just want to encourage you to be thinking about what it is to be walking in the light. Birds are very fond. Birds are very fond of catching the last evening rays of a winter's sun, and are always to be found in the afternoon on banks facing the west, or swinging, if there is no wind, on the topmost branch of the small fir tree. On the mountains, too, all birds, as the sun gets low, take to the slopes that face the west, whilst in the morning they betake themselves to the eastern banks and slopes that meet his rays. No bird is to be found in the shade during winter, unless it has flown there for shelter from some imminent danger. This is very remarkable in the case of golden plovers, who in the evening ascend from slope to slope as each becomes shaded by their intervening heights, until they are all collected on the very last ridge which the sun shines upon. That's a beautiful image. How the birds, as the sun's setting, they just keep going to the higher slopes until they're all on the very top ridge to just get as much light from the sun as they can. That ought to be you and me and how we live our lives. Just every moment, we try to get a little more of the light of Christ to warm us and help us grow fruit and guide us. He goes on to say this: how eagerly the sunflower turns to the sun. When the sun sets and night falls, it folds up its leaves. No interest in darkness. But when the morning light comes once more, it opens up its bosom to its sweet, soft touch. Nor is this all. It keeps inclining towards the sun all day, following its course through the sky. It's neat to think about, considering we recently looked at Psalm 19 together in the witness of the sun. He also mentions Florence Nightingale tells in her Notes on Nursing how the patients in hospitals turn towards the light. The light is life-giving, health-giving. It seems to draw the sufferers to itself. Certainly we should be drawing ourselves and others to Christ. Or put one more way, and I'll appreciate your bearing with this larger story, but I think you'll be blessed by it. The story of Dr. McGregor of St. Cuthbert's, if I'm reading the footnote correctly. This is not his story, but he's sharing another story. He seems to share a lot of other stories. They almost sound like it's him talking until you see the footnote. So I believe this is Dr. McGregor speaking. I get the sense maybe a medical doctor, but a Christian. While he's walking in the rain before dinner, I don't know why he's walking in the rain before dinner, but he's walking in the rain before dinner. He says this: I came up with a humble working man to whom I wished a good evening. The man walked alongside of me and began to talk, telling me the landlady of the house where he lived had died some little time ago. That, my friend, I said, is a road we must all go. Yes, he said, all but those who shall be alive on the earth when he comes again. The word interested me, and I replied, I am glad to hear you speaking that way. We talked a little amid the pelting rain about Christ's second coming, when he remarked, blessed are they who hear the joyful sound. They shall work, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Excuse me, that should be walk. I think my computer changed it. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Of course, he's quoting Psalm 89:15 that we had sung this evening. He goes on to say, I noticed a strange, bright, happy light about the man's homely face, which struck me. And I said, you seem to be rejoicing in that joyful sound of the gospel. Yes, he said, I am very happy, for I am trusting in my Savior and humbly trying to serve him. But some time ago, he went on to say, it was very different. For months and months I was in the most dreadful misery, believing myself a lost man for whom there was no mercy. I could get no peace night or day. But one Sunday I happened to go into Saltcote's parish church, and something that the minister said, it was nothing very particular, came home as true. That's true, I said. That's true. I see that Christ is a Savior. From that moment, I trusted Him. I am trusting Him still. And with His grace, I will to the end. Life has now all changed me, and I am the very happiest of men. No doubt, many a temptation came to me to go back to the old life, but He kept me. He kept by me and brought me out of a horrible pit and from the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. And there I hope to remain forever. So there, what do we see? We see the first part of our verse, the morning sermon. Ye are the light of the world. He then went on to say that no sooner had he found this new joy than he said to himself, I must try to do something for Him who has done so much for me. And casting about for something to do, he remembered an old friend who had gone very far astray through drink and was then lying on a sick bed in being the instrument of effecting a great change. Lying on a sick bed and hinting about ending himself. So he had a friend who was hinting at suicide because he had ruined his life so much in drinking. He said he stuck to that man for days and nights till God honored him in being the instrument of effecting a great change. And like himself, he is now a humble and earnest Christian. I asked him how he had dealt with him. Oh, I just helped him, he said with a happy smile, to look to Christ, to follow Christ, to trust in Christ. We shook hands together as we parted, mutually commending each other to God, and I ate my dinner with a happy heart. Beloved, that is the walk that we're talking about, especially as we find ourselves walking with other brethren we find ourselves with along the way. That is how children of the light of the Lord, walk together. So you too, beloved, walk as children of light. That is the message for you this evening. Walk as children of light. Let us pray. O Lord God in heaven, we do acknowledge and recognize that we are tempted to walk in darkness again. We're tempted to go back to the realm that we were part of and were. Protect us with these words that are intending to guide us to do good works, righteous, holy, true things, because you've redeemed us in your image and true righteousness, knowledge, holiness. So we're to walk that way. We're to live that way. We're to shine our light through our good works to glorify our God in heaven, the Father of heavenly lights. We're not to be involved in unfruitful disobedience. Oh Lord, let us submit ourselves to you in Christ and your word. And let us indeed open your word regularly. And more important, keep it in our hearts to be open and live it and love it and believe it. Lord, as we would walk in the light, as you are in the light, let us guide ourselves by your word, which is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our path. The entrance of your word gives light. O Lord, we do pray indeed that you would give light, that we would be full of your light. Help us to keep company with true believers. Help us to keep company, especially with our brethren, and especially through the means of grace. Help us to walk together and give a brighter glow collectively. And may that even be happening at this moment as we gather together here and the lights physically are on in the darkness of evening. May the sun of righteousness be shining and rising in the hearts of those around us even as you speak. Oh Lord, forgive us for often turning around and being in danger of being turned into salt. Keep our hand to the plow. Keep our eyes on Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Help us, O Lord God, to desire to be about your holy and good ways, to bear the fruit of the Spirit, for we live in the Spirit, thus let us walk also in the Spirit. Lord, let us be concerned not only with a talk of good doctrine, but a walk of good practice for your glory and for our own good and for a glorious witness to the watching world and to our watching children whom we wish to lead in light. We pray your blessing on all these things, on we who are your children of light. Let us therefore walk as children of light. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, and all your children say, Amen.